So you've asked a very interesting question that students often ask, especially when they're approaching Krishna consciousness. Because on one side they have Krishna consciousness dangling before them as an opportunity, as a way of life, as a pursuit and engagement and absorption, even a career in Krishna consciousness. But on the other side, they have their budding career as lawyers, doctors, computer programmers, hotel managers, real estate agents, or whatever they've been trained for, in the slaughterhouse of modern education and colleges. So they're torn, the young men and women that approach ISKCON in India, what to speak of, torn by family attachments that Indians have so much difficulty to overcome. But students everywhere are torn by this dilemma, this to be or not to be, to surrender to Krishna in this life and get on with pure devotional service, or to surrender partially and do some service and pursue my material career, so-called my material career, whatever that is. It's only a mental adjustment, because my means the Atma. My career means that I have some separate interest from my God or my creator or my maintainer or my origin. That means as soon as someone says my career, it's clear that they're totally in Maya, illusion, thinking that they have some occupation or so-called career, the word career, occupation, engagement, separate from the service of God. This is the grossest mistake and grossest miscalculation and misunderstanding of the conditioned soul, Nitya Bhara Jiva, that I have a separate interest from God. But the realized person, or at least the intelligent person on the path of attaining self-realization, will perceive that actually I am part and parcel of God, not this material world. And my career is with God, and my future is with God. Well, what about your future? What about your future, they say? My future is old age, disease, and death. What about your future? Your future is any different? You won't get old? Your college degree in neuropsychology will save you from old age, disease, and death. That will get your college degree will guarantee a happy life. Your college degree will guarantee inner peace and mental equilibrium. And your college degree and your proficiency in some medical field or law field or whatever material field, that will guarantee you'll be a successful human being. No, it's all your hope against hope. It's a great dream that all colleges sell to their students to keep milking them for more and more money every year. College itself is just the career of the group of money-hungry businessmen that want to make money on innocent students that are misdirected. College itself is a career, and it's a big business for the trustees. They make crores every year. Giving what? Giving nothing. Preparing screws to fit in machines that perform useless activities. Just become another screw in some machine called material society to do useless work. So this is a mental tension for a young man. He thinks, oh, I studied so hard medicine and all these mundane subjects. Now I want to prove myself that I can actually stand on my own two feet and hold a job and earn an income. I'm not dependent on my parents anymore. I want to assert my independence and prove myself. And I'm so indebted to my father for financing my education. Even he sacrificed, he had to take an extra job to earn more money just to pay for my education, or he actually took a loan on the house and then got the money to pay all at once, and now he's working 7 days a week instead of six at his job so he can pay back the loan from the bank for me, because he wanted to see me become something more than him in life. get some qualification, get some higher education so I can get a good white-collar job and not end up like a blue-collar worker like my father, a basic laborer, because he saw that I had some intelligence, it was worth investing. So he sacrificed so much. And my mother, she was always cooking for me and sending cookies and so many things, dry fruits and cookies and cakes and care packages every few months of warm clothing and extra socks and all little pens and pencils and anything she could think of to support and encourage my educational pursuit. So I feel grateful to them, rightly so. I feel indebted to them, so I can't let them down. How will I face them? What will I say to them? When I tell them, I say, you know, I appreciate everything you've done for me. And because you raised me as a religious person, and you would take me to confession every Saturday, and you enrolled me in Catholic school, so I associated with saintly people my whole life. My teachers were all virgins, nuns. So that's association. They're godly people. This is Krishna's arrangement. But then they taught us about God, too. We had classes in God and worship and puja and all these things. Go to Mass. And so they were devotees. Bhaktas, Jesus Bhaktas. Worshippers of the Lord. So I was just thinking, as I sometimes reflect about my upbringing and realize how many aspects of it were so Indian and so Vedic. You know, the schooling, the father's name was Harry, and grew up in a country and a river in my property like Yamuna. Everything was so much, one by one by one. So I'm thankful to my parents that they raised me in a religious way, surrounded by nuns and pure devotees of the Lord. Because my other friends, my so-called schoolmates and karmi buddies, they weren't very saintly. They weren't, as we grew up, they certainly weren't celibate. But these nuns were a nice example. I still remember today how clear their eyes were, how clear and doe-like, deer-like their eyes were. And their skin was so white, and you know, they're all white, you know, Western people. Skin was like milk white and effulgent. So in this way, all this was my parents' kindness to me. So it fructified, all that religious exposure, Catholic school, going to confession every Saturday and church every Sunday, and training me to give charity and be kind to others. And my own prabuddha karma ended up that I wanted to become fully devoted to God, like the nuns, like the priests. My parents were not that opposed to the idea, but they wanted me to be a doctor too. But somehow, God stole my heart. Krishna stole my heart because that's his nature. And my parents were very upset, when you burn the bridge, you can't cross back over it. You cross over the bridge, and it's a wooden bridge. You burn it down or you cut it down, and it's a huge bridge and a huge lake, and you can't swim across it. It's full of piranha fish. You can't turn back. So I thought, even my father said, he said, look, you're going to Krishna, you're going to God, don't depend on me anymore. These very words he said. I guess my whole life I depended on him. He said, don't depend on me anymore. Depend on your Krishna. If you need money, don't ask me. There's no money. I said, I don't worry. Because even my brother was married and established, and he was still taking loans from my father and getting involved with money from my father. And I didn't do that much except college. In college, I managed, with the budget he gave me, I managed a little extra. Because he gave me so much money for school, and I managed to get by with, In other words, he gave me money for room and board to stay in the dormitory, which was like $5,000 a semester. But then I moved off campus and lived in a commune with devotees and cooked my own food. and I only spent $2,000. But I would, so I said, you know, so every month I had $3,000, which I would use in the summer to travel around, hitchhike here and there. So students have their ways of getting their money. So I said, Dad, don't worry. I have faith in Krishna. I have faith in God. That's your contribution. I always remember you. And I'm grateful for everything you've done to me. I'm not ungrateful. But if you can respect my interest in God, that's nice. If you can't, I'm sorry for that. So we think we have so many debts, and it's not an external thing. Gratitude is not a matter of moving some material energy to show gratitude. Gratitude is a mindset, a position of the heart, feelings. And you can make some show, material, move some material nature around, make some show of gratitude or appreciation. But the real thing is that you carry the in your heart for your whole life, the gratitude and appreciation for the good qualities and contribution that your parents have given you. Because if you turn to Shastras, the Rishis, the sages, you'll see that everywhere they're saying that we have debts. Every human being has many, many debts. They have to pay debts not only to their mother and father for what they received and their forefathers because of the pure generation they're coming in, the all these different gotras, Kaushik Gotra and Kasyap Gotra and Gotam Gotra, Bhargava Gotra and Bhadraj Gotra. Because these gotras, we take birth in pure lines of kshatriyas or baniyas or brahmins. Their gene pool, their genetic structure, their RNA, their DNA, with all their good virtues and good qualities, has been passed down from generation to generation for thousands and millions of years. So we're indebted to our forefathers, because if we have a pure bloodline, they didn't contaminate. I've inherited all the qualities of that great Rishi, Gotam Rishi or Kasyap Muni or Kapila Muni, whomever, not Kapila, but Kasyap Muni. I've inherited all those qualities, and so I'm indebted to my Pitris, the forefathers. That's what it means, how you're indebted to them. You know, I mean, just internally in terms of the good qualities, the intelligence, the beauty, the everything that we have good. It's from that genetic pool that we take birth in. And just the immediate thing, if you're working in your father's business, which your great-grandfather started, that's quite obvious. You're indebted to your great-grandfather because he moved from Pakistan and started this cloth business in Delhi and worked hard. And so, and you're just moving to this business and automatically make 10 lakhs a month doing nothing but servicing the customers that your father gave you, that his father gave him, that his father gave him. So that's a very obvious thing. But this point I'm making is not so obvious, but actually more crucial. And this is what the Vedas are addressing when they say Pitris, to our ancestors. We have a debt because they've given us a lot. Our physical attributes, our mental attributes, our immunity. So many things are coming in our blood pool. And our own karma is there also. So we pay that debt by yajna and different activities we do. So this whole concept of the shastras are our shelter, the shastras are our strength, the shastras are our friends, guides, advisors, well-wishers. They're everything, because the shastras are Krishna. Dharman tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Dharman tu sakshat, there's a verse in fifth canto of Bhagavatam. Dharman tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. That sakshat dharma, the personification of dharma, the direct perception of dharma, is contained in the Bhagavatam. Dharman tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. And Bhagavan is manifested dharma there. So the Bhagavatam is Krishna. It's the srupa of Krishna, srupa of Radha. It's there. all the different cantos, because Radha has so many Aishwarya Sarups and Radha has so many Madhurya Sarups. Krishna has so many Aishwarya Sarups and Krishna has so many Madhurya Sarups. So his Aishwarya Sarups of Krishna are Purusha avatars and the Guna avatars. Guna avatar, this is the Aishwarya, the Vibhuti, the opulence of powers. The Tamagun, the Guna avatar in Tamagun, that's Shiva. Shiva's an Aishwarya. He's a Vibhuti of Krishna. And then Brahma and Sattvagun. And then Vishnu is the Purusha avatar, was the in charge of Sattvagun. So all these, and then gradually, these are all the different Aishwarya roops and all their different actions, the demigods and all the kings are all different forms of the Lord, Naradeva. And they're described throughout the Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam, Krishna is showing his various Aishwarya roops and his various, because the whole Bhagavatam is Krishna's sarup. So you have to understand the 12 cantos. So until we get to the 10th canto, then it's all his different Aishwarya Vibhuti sarups. The demigods, Shiva, and the kings, and this and that, and the incarnations, and fighting the demons, and Hiranyakashipu, and Varaha, and then Hiranyakashipu, and Nrisimhadeva, and like this, and Vritrasura, and Vishnu, and goes on. And then Radharani is the Adya Shakti, Sarvashakti Mini Radha, so she has her Vibhuti Sarup, so all the demigoddesses, Durga, especially Durga. Durga is Radharani's representation here as Mahamaya, and Yogamaya is Radharani there. So Radharani is expressed, and this is told in Lagu Bhagavatamrita, and also that the demigods are simply, they're all expansions. Everything is expanded from Radha and Krishna. So the Bhagavatam is glorifying Radharani. That's why he says, those that are Rasik Vaishnavas are learned, they can find Radharani in every single verse of the Bhagavatam, and they can find Krishna also. So where's Radharani's name? Only this one verse in 10th canto, Anyaradita, that some special gopis worship Krishna, so Radha is kind of hidden there, but nowhere directly Radharani's name. No, that's for fools. This Prokshavad, every verse, because as I'm explaining, the whole sarupa of the Bhagavatam is Radha and Krishna. So once that's understood, then you understand how all the different cantos, that's what they describe, the demigods that control the universe, the demons, the devotees, the avatars, the material creation, the hellish planets. This is all the Vibhuti and Aishwarya aspect of God. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam parvartate iti matva bhajanti mam buddha bhava samanvita. Aham sarvasya, I am the source, Krishna says, I am the source of everything. Everything emanates from me. And this is in the Chatushloki of Gita 10.8. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam parvartate. So then, and when you get to the 10th canto, then Radharani starts revealing all her Madhura Sarups, and Krishna and Madhura Sarups, and Gopikas, they're all in Madhura, sweetness, and Brajabhav, Brajalila, and the queens of Dwarka, then Radharani's Aishwarya Madhurya Sarups, and Dwarkadisha's Krishna's Aishwarya Madhurya. And it's like this. And Krishna Vrindavan is Madhuram, Madhuram, Madhuram. Sweet, sweet, sweet. Narada Muni is teaching Vasudev. Of course, everyone knows Vasudev is father of Krishna, so he's a king, he's a kshatriya. And Narada Muni is coming to visit him and teach so many wonderful teachings. So in this section, he's talking about many nice verses. This is 11th canto, chapter 5. And the verse we want to discuss, of course, is famous verse 41, which Prabhupada gave many, many lectures on, Devarshi Bhutatu Nimpratinam. But the prior verses in his teachings to Vasudeva, he's talking about the best way to attain perfection, Kali Yuga's Sankirtan. And this is text 36. Kalim Sabhajyantyarya Gunagya Sara Bhagina Yatra Sankirtane Naiva Sarva Swarto Bilabhyate Sarva Swarto Bilabhyate Swa-art, that goal, that valuable thing for me, desirable object for me, Labhyate Abhilabhyate. Now, Labhyate is like lobe, kamkara, lobe. You will gain, you will achieve. Sarva swa arta, all things, that are good for you. So Artha, what's in it for me? What benefit do I get? What are the profits? What are the losses? What are the profits? What benefit do I get? If I go to this college, what benefit? Oh, we guarantee that 9 out of 10 of our graduates get placed in mundane slaughterhouse hospitals. Oh, very nice. Where they kill babies, 20,000 babies every month. Yes, I want to get a position in Apollo Hospital and join that killing baby movement. Let me be posted there in this hospital, work there for 1 year so I can join in the karma of killing babies in that hospital. Cult conspiracy, collective karma. One who orders the animal to be killed, one who kills the animal, one who transports it, one who serves it, one who cooks it, one who eats it. There's 6 people involved in the cow slaughter. It's like conspiracy. They don't just arrest the guy that pulled the trigger in the bank. One guy drove the car, one guy masterminded it, and they catch them all. Bank robbery. A conspiracy to kill the cows. So this collective karma is a basic concept. We get implicated by our association and by our placement in our engagement. It's a very entangling world. Sarva Swarto Bilabhyate. I can attain a lot of things for me. What things? Everything. Sarva Swarto. How can I get that? Sankirtan. Chaito Dharvada Manjanam. Narada Muni said, those that are actually advanced in knowledge, Kalim Sabaja Yanti Arya. The Aryans, those that are actually Aryans, the Aryan people, they Bhaja Yanti. They glorify Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga Bhajan. Oh, glories of Kali Yuga. It's so wonderful. Murder, rape, robbery, terrorism, cheating, nepotism, corruption. It's wonderful. But Aryans, those that are, Arya means someone who is progressing towards spiritual perfection, towards realizing God, the Aryan race, not a bunch of white Germans under Hitler's march to take over the world. He said that was the Aryan race. They're progressive souls that are solely and only interested in self-realization, although they may observe the order of Varnashram Dharma and live as Grihasthas or whatever. But they're Aryans because they're really interested in moksha. Dharma, art, kam, moksha, not just dharma, art, kam. All right, feels good, do it. Party, hearty, joy, all right. Forget it. Moksha? Mukti? Ah. When you're dead, man. Go for it. This is all there is this life. There's nothing more. Those that are actually advanced in knowledge are able to appreciate the essential value of this age of Kali. Such enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga because in this fallen age, all perfection of life, sarva swarto bilabhyate. You're going to attain everything you want by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But enlightened persons, they worship Kali Yuga because in this fallen age, all perfection can easily be attained by performance of Sankirtan, Maharaj Vasudeva. Isn't it glorious? Nayeta paramo labho dehinam brahmayatam yato vindeta paramam shantim nashyati samsriti. Indeed, Maharaj Vasudeva, there is no higher possible gain for embodied souls forced to wander throughout the material world than the Supreme Lord's Sankirtan movement. Pram Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam Ki Jai. By Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, one can attain the supreme peace and free oneself from the cycle of repeated birth and death. Samsara. Shantim nashati samsara. Samsara nash. Katam hogya. That's 11th canto, chapter 5, verse 37. Then 38 through 40, the translation is, O Vasudev, And he talks about the inhabitants of different ages and this and that. And then now to the key verse. That was the lead-in, or the runway, you can say, to the takeoff. This is the verse we want to discuss, because this is the main verse spoken by Narada Muni, the Bhakti Avatar, to spread devotion all over the universe. He's a Shaktivesh avatar of the Lord to spread bhakti. This is the main verse which explains that if one is serving the giver of liberation, Mukunda, Bhagavan Mukti Pradata, that form of Bhagavan which grants liberation, if one is serving the Lord of liberation, then he will attain liberation from samsara. And if one is serving the Lord of liberation, then he's free and liberated from all things of this world. If you're getting liberated from this material world, well, you'll also get liberated from everyone in the material world, and also from all responsibilities from everyone in the material world, and all relationships in the material world. When there's relationship, there's responsibility. When there's no relationship, there's no responsibility. So every jiva has an eternal relationship with God, and that's the ultimate responsibility, is to realize it, awaken it, and live in it. Live in that relationship, Krishna Sambandha, as Krishna's eternal loving servant, eternal loving servant of Radha and Krishna, and finally transcend this world of birth and death and enter that realm to serve them eternally in the Siddhadeya. This is a responsibility of human life, because we have an eternal relationship with God. Mother comes and goes, father comes and goes, sisters come and go, houses come and go, cities come and go, bodies come and go, the world comes and goes, but the Atma is eternal. Never was a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. That verse is there in Gita, second chapter. So this is told in Gita, Krishna is telling in chapter 2, verse 12. Na tvevaham jatu na sam, na tvam neme janaripa, na cheva na bhavishyama, sarve vayam mata param. O Arjun, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all of these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Narada Muni is telling Vasudeva this beautiful verse, which is a source of comfort and inspiration for all the devotees that have surrendered to Krishna and made Krishna consciousness their full-time career. Devarshi bhutapta nrinam prichinam nakin karo nayam vrini charajan Sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam parihrityakartam gato mukundam parihrityakartam. Narada Muni said, O Maharaj Vasudev, one who has given up all material duties and has taken full shelter at the lotus feet of Mukunda, who offers shelter to all, is not indebted to the demigods, devas, the great sages, rishis, devarshi, ordinary human beings, ambuta, relatives, apta, friends, mankind, or even one's forefathers who have passed away. Since all classes of living entities, which I just mentioned, all classes of living entities, the higher class living entities is demigods, sages, etc., than ordinary human beings, relatives, friends. Since all such classes of living entities are part and parcel of God, one who has surrendered to the Lord's service has no need to serve such persons separately. just as, and the analogy is there, is the body, if you put the food in the stomach, all the body parts get nourished. If you put the water in the roots of the tree, then the whole tree gets nourished. So the root of existence, the cause of all my relatives, and the cause of all the mercy and kindness I've gotten from my relatives is because of God. God is the one that gave them their body. God is the one that maintained their body. See, the ultimate benefactor of my life, for all my lives, is God. Srila Prabhupada's beautiful, enlightened illumination. One who has not fully surrendered to Krishna Bhakti, devotional service of the Lord, undoubtedly has many material duties to perform. Every ordinary conditioned soul is the recipient of innumerable benefits given by the demigods. So the devas were indebted to the demigods. Why? What do they? I never met a demigod. You ever met a demigod? No. Never seen one. I never heard about one until I came to ISKCON. At least the Indians have heard about demigods. I only heard about God and his son, Jesus. God the Father. That's it. Didn't get all cluttered up with 33 crores of demigods, semigods, upagods, demigods. So many gods in India, can't figure out who's number one. That's the biggest problem in India. There's too many gods and goddesses. There's too many. And the problem outside of India, there's none. There's only one, but everyone forgot him. If there's more gods, it's harder to forget. There's only one outside of India, and everybody forgot him, so everyone's godless. So the demigods, what do? They give us sunshine, Suryadev, and moonshine, Chandradev, and rain, Indradev, and wind, Vayudev, and food, and ultimately, they give our material body, Karmana Devanechana, Jantardeho Papatiye, the third count of Bhagavatam, how we get our body, due to our karma and the arrangement of the super soul and the devas. In the Gita, it is stated, Stena Eva Sa, one who does not reciprocate with the demigods. So, all right, they've given us all these things. Now, how do we show our gratitude? How do we repay our debt to the demigods? Swaha, swaha, by yajna. We do yajna and we do Indra yajna as Nanda Maharaj was doing. He was doing Indra yajna, which became Govardhan Puja. Giriraj Maharaj ki. So he said, what is this Indra Puja? And he said, Indra is giving us rain. Rain makes the grass. Our cows eat the grass. We get the milk. Our economy is based on cows. Our life and soul is the cows. And they need the rain to get the grass. So the rain comes from the rain god. Forget that. Giriraj is giving us everything. Giriraj? He's a rock. He's not a person. How can a rock give you rain? How can a rock give... A rock gives you rain? Rock gives you rock. Gives you a pain if someone throws one on your head. It knocks you out. You get rock in the head, you get knocked out. Rocked out. Anyway, somehow Nanda Maharaj did puja, and that rock became a person. A huge person, the huge form of Bhagavan. Giridhari. And Krishna said, look, Gopal said, look. He's not a rock. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's certainly a person. He can give you a rain, yes. Oh, well, yeah, Lala. I think so. He can give everything. Yeah, of course. God can give everything. So, who needs Indra, right? I guess so, Gopal. You really showed us the truth. But the ordinary people that aren't Krishna and Nanda Maharaj and devotees of Krishna and Nanda Maharaj, they depend on this. They have to do yajna to pay them back. And if you don't, then you're a stainer, you're a thief. You're taking all these things and you're not showing any reciprocation. And we have debts with other living entities also, like cows. These are just living entities. These are bhutas. It says, deva, rishi, bhuta, apta. Living entities, not only human beings, but even living entities like cows. Cows give us milk, which nourishes our brain and makes us intelligent and God-fearing individuals. So they give us so many delicious, nutritious foodstuffs. And what about birds? course, this is assuming you live in a country. And now the majority of the people grow up in the city where when you wake up in the morning, beep, beep, honk, honk, beep, beep, honk, 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 honk. But traditionally, the world, until the Industrial Revolution, until 18th century, everybody lived in a village. There was no cities and no factories. Only factories are only cities are only 200-year-old phenomenon on the face of the earth. 200 years has created such a hell. The whole world has become factories and cities. But previously, everyone lived in the country, in the village. In the morning, you don't wake up with buses and trains and airplanes overhead. But you wake up with birds chirping and tweeting and singing sweetly. Nature's alarm clock. Even some of the birds, they sound like these electronic alarm clocks. One bird I know here in the brush goes, don't, 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 don't. It goes like this. And it's about 4 o'clock in the morning, and every 2 seconds he makes a sound like these little beep, 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 like these little clocks go beep, 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 beep. And finally, you know, an hour later you might hear it in your dreams or something. Your whole ashram woke up except you. Turn off your clock, you stupid. But this bird, it's like I call it alarm clock bird. Toot, 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 toot. He's not such a sweet chirping one, but at least he's effective. Maybe he's a Casio bird. Casio pucky. Special species. Electronic chirp. At any rate, the idea is that we're indebted to these birds. When we wake up in the morning, our mind is refreshed by the sweet singing of the birds, especially the parrots. If you could wake up and hear a parrot, toot, 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 toot. Of course we get up way before they do. We get up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and parrots get up at sunrise. But nevertheless, we're the ordinary folks. And parrots are so sweet. And on a hot day, we enjoy the cool shade and breeze of the forest trees. So we're indebted. So how do we pay back the birds? We feed them, especially in the wintertime. They can't get any food. It's not proper, not many seeds or flowers and bugs around. So then we, at least especially in the winter, if not all the time, we make some arrangement to give bird food for the birds. And then we have some arrangement for them to drink water. So we're paying our debt back this way. So then the trees, the forest trees, we repay our debt by watering them. If there's some dry season, rains aren't coming, we make some arrangement to water the trees. And of course, once they get big, the roots are so deep, they collect their own water. But just by doing yajna, proper yajna, then the rains come and the trees are nourished. If we're doing our yajna, then the trees get the benefit. Because all they need is rain and then not to be cut down, like these demons that cut down 50,000 trees at a time to make some park and put their statues of the politicians in some park, and they cut down 50,000 trees in one park in Delhi. 50,000 full-grown trees in this huge park to put up a bunch of useless statues of demoniac politicians of the past. This is Kali Yuga government. Demons. Demon. So we're accepting service from innumerable living entities, and we're obligated to repay them. And of course, there's various ways to do that. Apta, the Sanskrit word, devarshi bhutapta. Deva, rishi, bhuta, apta. Apta means one's family members. To one is certainly obligated according to normal morality. And nrinam means human society. Until one becomes a devotee of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is certainly a product of a society. If the members of Krishna consciousness society are sometimes criticized by materialistic persons for giving too much attention to Krishna rather than working to fulfill all the above obligations, in reply to this, the fourth canto of Bhagavatam states, Yata turor mula nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bujo pashaka. If one, it's an analogy that's given there to explain this point, If one waters the root of the tree, automatically all the branches, twigs, leaves are also nourished. There is no need or any effectiveness in separately pouring water on the branches, twigs, and leaves of a tree. The water has to be placed on the root. So therefore, the analogy is, in relation to the topic, is that the root of the existence is God. And if we engage in the service of God 24 hours a day, then automatically this is the most effective, this is the most effective way to satisfy and please and pay all of our debts to everyone. Rishis, devas, demigods, rishis, other living entities, relatives, parents, etc. And there's another verse that says that prano paharach chayatendriyanam. Food must be placed in the stomach from where it is automatically distributed to all of the limbs of the body. It is foolish to try to nourish the whole body by rubbing food separately on all the bodily limbs. Take your pizza and rub it on your arms. That's not a very good way to get nourishment. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the source of all existence. Everything is emanating from Krishna. Everything is maintained by Krishna. And in the end, everything will merge to rest in Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Krishna is the supreme benefactor, well-wisher, and kind provider, friend and protector of every living entity. If Krishna is satisfied, then automatically the whole world will become satisfied sooner or later. Just as all of the bodily limbs are strengthened and satisfied when food is duly remitted to the stomach. If we carefully analyze all our multifarious obligations, Prabhupada's language means our different obligations, our many obligations, toward different classes of living entities, we shall find that in each and every case, it is ultimately by the mercy of God that we have received a particular benediction in life. If you trace out the ultimate source, my parents have given me money for my education, for example. Because if I didn't have that money, I couldn't go to medical school and transportation. So basically my parents provided money. So how have they been able to get money? Because they have some qualification. They're educated. And how did they get education? Because they have some intelligence. And how did they get intelligence? Because God gave them intelligence. Krishna says in the Gita, I am the intelligence of the intelligent. I am the strength of the strong. I am the ability in man. Purusham Nishu. It's God given. And God can take it away. God can give intelligence, but if you get Alzheimer's disease, whatever it is, and you get different diseases, you can get cerebral palsy, you can get brain, your brain can just freeze up and you become paralyzed. And you say, ah, 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 ah. You get struck in the head, get a stroke, you're a so-called big genius, they don't even know your name. Can't even speak. But if you're the source of your intelligence, if you're the maintainer of your intelligence, then your will is, I want my intelligence. I want to speak. I'm sorry, sir, you had a stroke. 50% of your brain has been damaged by lack of oxygen for 5 minutes. You're lucky you're alive. But before you were, Nobel laureate. So proud. I did this and I did that and I created this and I discovered that. But now you can't even speak and you've become a vegetable. It's all Krishna Kripa. It's actually all God-given. So my parents had got this God-given intelligence. They went to school. They got degrees. They got a good job. They made money. And then with that money, they're saying, I am paying for your education. I paid for your education. I maintain you for all these years. I did this and I did that. I worked hard for you. And now you're becoming Hare Krishna. What is this, you ungrateful wretch? I curse you. So we just laugh because unless someone is told the truth every single moment of their life for 12 years, they have no power to curse. That's the first criterion, to have ability to curse or to bless. No, certainly no power to curse. Unless person has followed the four regular principles for 12 years without breaking in any form, personal, self-induced, or any other, this way, that way, for 12 years, he has no power to curse. Unless one is a totally pure vegetarian, he has no power to curse. Unless one is totally fixed 24 hours a day in sattva-guna, he has no power to curse. So, but since this is a standard by which one gets tapabalam, which all the devarshi, you know, Durvasa Muni and Lomasa Rishi and Anga Rishi and all these different rishis that had so much power to curse, they got it. It's not some panda at some tirtha style, panda in Gokul or panda on the banks of Radhakund. If you don't give me 100 rupees, I'm going to curse you. Or you're a mother, a father. How many, they say so many things because they come from Vedic concept or and even in West Asia. They say, I'll curse you. They can. It's only words. It's just like if they say, I'm going to fly in the sky. Watch me now. I'm going to fly in the sky. Okay. Well, okay. Go to the top of the building. Jump. It means nothing. It's meaningless. They have no power to fly in the sky. So they have no power to curse. Oh, my mother's going to curse you. It's just a bluff. It's a bluff. Bluff means it's false. It's fake. You know, I have so much money. I have millions of dollars, you know. If you marry me, you'll be so wealthy. So some lady falls for that. The guy, she marries the guy, and he drives a rickshaw. He doesn't have any money at all. He just lied. He bluffed. All power is with God. Actually, the little son and daughter that surrender to God has thousands of times more power than the children. I mean, than the parents. So everything we receive is the mercy of God. We've got this nice mother and father, it's the mercy of God. They're nice by the mercy of God. They have money by the mercy of God. They have a job. You have a job. So many people don't have a job. They're very educated and qualified. They're being laid off. You still have your job as a teacher, a doctor, or whatever, computer person. That's the mercy of God. Everybody in Delhi has a job? No. Many teachers don't have a job. Many doctors can't get proper placement. At least what they want. They get some crappy job in a village hospital for 1,000 rupees a month. But maybe they don't want to work for that. Because they have a bank loan for school loan. They can't even pay their loan. They may have a personal loan also with a bank. That's also there. And if you become Krishna conscious, you don't have to pay that either. Come and put me in jail. Because many, many devotees in the West, they took student loans. It's not a new thing. Maybe new to India, but whatever you're doing in India was done 50 years ago first in America. So a student, if he's of age, he can go and sign up for a loan based on his, you know, his career, future career. So the banks, they take a risk that way. And many devotees, in their third year, fourth year, whatever, they became Hare Krishnas. They said, goodbye. And they would get letters, and the letters to come to the temple. You owe us, you know, 5 lakhs. Is that Konteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakti Pranashati? Arjun, declare it boldly. My devotee never perishes. Although an ordinary person must methodically fulfill all of his various obligations by executing different types of sacrifices and charitable activities for the satisfaction of those who have benefited him. But one who is directly serving Krishna at once fulfills all such obligations, because all benedictions have ultimately come from God through the agency of the family, the forefathers, the demigods, the cows, etc. But it's all, whatever we receive is gifts of God. Is a gift of God, the mercy of God. Bhagavan Kripa. Bhagavan Kripa hi kevalam. People in general are only eager to receive benedictions from the demigods and benedictions from their family members. Like, benedictions means money. That's the only benediction I want. Mom, give me money. Dad, give me money. I don't need your love, I don't need your embraces, I have a boyfriend or girlfriend, right? And I don't need your affection, I have my boyfriend and girlfriend. I don't need your friendship, I have my friends. All I need is your money. Mom, give me money. Dad, give me money. Money is the honey which I eat my life, live my life. So now we're worshiping Madhurya Purushottam Sri Krishna, the honey lord. He's made of honey. He is honey. You don't get honey from Krishna. He is honey. You live with honey. You embrace honey. You taste honey. Madhuram, 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 madhuram. So people are in general very eager. Yeah, yeah. Give me money, demigods. Dhanam dehi, janam dehi. O Durga, O Vaishnavi. O Banki Bihari, O Giriraj. Give me. Money, car, wealth, job, success. O Balaji, O Venkateshwar Balaji. Give me success. Oh, parents, give me money. Give me a car. Give me clothes. Buy me an apartment. Daddy, buy me this. Daddy, buy me that. Very eager to get benedictions because such benedictions are conducive to material sense gratification. However, so to do that, to get those benedictions from the parents, you have to work. You have to do what they want, when they want you to do it, or else you're sunk, you're chopped, guillotined, annihilated, killed, incarcerated, imprisoned, defamed. She, this girl, this, that. You become defamed, become infamous to the whole dynasty. She what? He what? Oh, how could he do that to you? How could he just leave you after so much you've done? Oh, my dear uncle, brother, cousin, father, mother, how could he run away and join the Hare Krishnas? He must be crazy. They must have brainwashed him. Must be that guru, that Bhaktivedanta. Bhaktivedanta Swami must have brainwashed that. My son or my cousin. I think he's a tantric, actually. He's very dangerous. I've seen him once or twice. Even I felt somewhat hypnotized when I saw him. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Our Savior, our Father, our Friend, our Beloved, our Prananath, Pran Gaur, Pran Guru, Pran Guru, Prananath, Prabhupada. Prabhupada Ami Prananath. Like there's a song by, I'm not sure, Vasudev Ghosh maybe, he says, Yadihi Gauranahito. He said, where would we have been without Lord Gauranga? This is a song by Narahari Das. No, Narahari. I guess it's Narahari Sarkar, who's Madhumati Saki in Krishna Leela. Gaur Leela is the eternal associate. Yadi Gauranga Nahita. Jadi Gauranga Nahita. Tabe ki haita. Ke mana darita de. Radhara mahima prema rasa sima jagate janata ke. Jagate janata ke. Madhura brinda vipina madhuri pravesha chaturi sar. Varaja juvati bhavera bhakati shakati haite kara. Shakati haite kara. Jadi Gauranga nahita tabe ki haita ke mane darita de. Kaupuna puna Gauranger guna sarala hayamana. Kaupuna puna Gauranger guna sarala hayamana. E bhava sagare, he mana dayala, nadeki je eka jana, nadeki je eka jana. Jadi gauranga nahita tabe ki haita kemane darita de. Gauranga baliya nageno galiyat kemane darinu de. Kemane darinu de. Narahariya pashanadiya, Narahariya pashanadiya, kemane gadi jache, kemane gadi jache, Gauranga nahita tabe ki haita, kemane darita de, Gauranga nahita tabe ki haita, kemane darita de. Translation by Sri Narahari Sakar. If Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu had not appeared in this age of Kali, then what would have happened to us? How could we have tolerated living without him? In this universe, who would ever have come to know the glories of Srimati Radharani and the topmost limit of Prema Ras, Prema Rasa Sima? Sima means a zenith, the topmost point, the summit, Radha Mahima. Radha Mahima, the great glories of Radha. Radha Nam, Radha Guna, Radha, her form, her qualities, her name, her Leela. All of South India, Satyuga, Tretyuga, Dwaparayuga, nothing, no Radha Mahima, no Radha Nam, no Radha, nothing. Only Gauranga has brought this. Radhara Mahima, this is one of the three internal reasons why Krishna came as Radha. Taste the Radha Pranaya Mahima, Radha Pranaya Mahima, to understand the greatness of Radha's Pranaya. So this is Gauranga's contribution. Radha Mahima, Radhara Mahima Prima Rasa Sima. Jagate Janatake. Janatake. Who knows in this whole universe what to speak of India and South India, North India? If Gauranga had not come, who would ever know the glories of Radha's topmost limit of Prima Rasa? Madhura Brinda Vipina Madhuri. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not come, who could have had the intelligence to join the sweet Madhura Ras, Radha Krishna's Leelas in Vrindavan? In other words, if Mahaprabhu had not come and taught Rag Bhakti, who would have learned the way to enter Brajadam and serve Radha and Krishna's Madhurya Leela? Who would have learned the path of Rag Marg, Rag Marg Prachar? Gauranga has come to teach Rag Marg Prachar. Oh, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, they all taught Vaidimarg. Maybe Nimbarka some rag, but all the Vaishnavacharya is mostly all Vaidimarg, going by Kunta. If Mahaprabhu had not come, who would have gotten the intelligence? Pravesh Chaturi Sahar, Madhura Brinda, that sweet Vrindavan is Madhuri Vipan. Vipan means the forest. The Madhurya Leela filled forest of Vrindavan, and that sweet Vrindavan, the Madhura Ras, Pravesh Chaturi Sar, who would have the intelligence? Bharaja Yuvati Bhavara Bhagati Shakti Haite Kar. Who else but Gauranga Mahaprabhu has given us the power, the Shakti, to enter the Braja Ramani's loving mood of Seva to Yuga Kishore? Bharaja, this is Bengali, Bharaja means Braja, Yuvati means the young Kishoris. Braja Yuvati, Bhav, Gopi Bhav, Yuvati Bhav, Bhakati, Shakati. Who would have given us that power of devotion, that power of Rag Bhakti, Bhav Bhakti, to understand their mood, the Gopi's Bhav, the Braja Ramani's loving mood of Seva to Yuga Kishore Radha Govinda? With a simple heart, Sarala Haya Man. Sarala. Sarala means simple, clear, pure. Sarala Man. Sarala. Sarala Man. Man means mind and heart, both. Man. Sarala. Sarala. Sarala Man. with a pure heart, innocent heart and mind, and simple. Simple means innocent, pure. Gao puna puna goranga gun. Over and over again, sing puna puna, the gun, the goranga gun, the glories of goranga, goranga gita. No one has ever seen such a compassionate person. Bhavasagari manadhyala nadeki ekajan. As Mahabhu in the entire ocean of material existence. Bhavasagar, Bhavasagar, Bhavasindhu. Dayal, Dayal Gaur, Dayal Chaitanya, Dayal Nitai, Dayal, Dayal. Nadeki ekjana. Not one person, ekjana, nobody in the entire material existence in Bhavasagar, the vast unlimited ocean of sky and space of material existence. Ekjana nedeki, no one has ever seen the unlimited compassion and mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. Even though I chant Gauranga's name, Gauranga Bhalya Nagenu Galya, Gauranga Bhalya Nagenu Galya, ga, 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 this is poetry, you know. Even though I chant Gauranga's name, Gauranga Bhalya Nageno Galya, qualities, pastimes, somehow my heart has not melted. Kimani Dadinu. How do I continue to maintain the burden of this useless material body? How is it that the Lord has created the body of Narahari, giving me a stone in place of a heart? Pashana. Now, Pashan, I have a stone-like heart. So although I chant the glories of Gauranga over and over again, my heart doesn't melt with love and tears don't flow from my eyes like the Ganga. How unfortunate is this Narahari. But how fortunate we are that he has come in this age. This song I'm applying to Prananath Prabhupada. My Gurudev is my Prananath. Where would I have been if Prabhupada had not come to America? And ek jana bhavasagar bhavasagare ek jana nedeki. Has anyone ever seen in this entire ocean of material existence, has anyone ever seen anyone, Dayal Prabhupada, more compassionate, Karuna Prabhupada, more compassionate, more kind and merciful than Srila Prabhupada? No one's ever seen. So many rishis have walked in India and so many avatars and so many gurus have gone to the West and done their number, their dance, whatever, and brought a lot of benefit and good things for many people, but none can compare with the oceanic mercy and compassion of Srila Prabhupada. So where would we be without Prabhupada? So we're eternally indebted to our guru, not to our mother and father. We're eternally indebted to Krishna for his mercy, for giving us guru. And his mercy. So Guru Kripa Hi Kevalam, Krishna Kripa Hi Kevalam. So the devotees, they don't waste time. They surrender to Krishna. They don't waste time with serving parents and society and rishis. Rather, they don't waste time serving places and parents. Don't waste time serving the hopes of their parents. And serving their parents with hopes of receiving boons and benedictions from them. Rather, they directly try to please Krishna's senses through bhakti yoga, loving service. And then from Krishna, we get a benediction. He's grateful for our service. And he gives us a supreme benediction of taking us to the spiritual world, back to Godhead. So devotees return to Krishna's abode, Brajadham, where life is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. No demigod, no family member, no forefather, or anyone in this material world can give you an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Only Krishna. Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki jai. And of course, Krishna summarizes all the Puranas and Upanishads and everything in the Bhagavad Gita. And that's the famous verse that everybody knows so well, the last verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. But there's another nice translation of this verse also here. That these two verses, just to review, this verse we're discussing, 11th canto, chapter 5, verse 41, and the verse we mentioned about the analogy of if you water the tree, then the automatically put water in the roots and everything grows nicely. So these two verses, constitute the proof that one should do only Bhagavad Bhajan. One should only worship Krishna and not worship anyone else. 431.14 Yata taror mula nishechanenha tripyanti takskanda bujo pashaka pranopaharach chayatendriyanam tateva sarv arhanam achutejya. By watering the root of a tree, all its parts and parcels, such as the trunk, branches, leaves, and flowers, are nourished. And by satisfying the life errors through eating, all of the senses are nourished. Similarly, simply by worshipping Sri Krishna, all the demigods, all the forefathers, relatives, mothers, fathers, teachers, friends, associates, birds, bees, monkeys, bears, fleas, and everyone else is fully worshipped and satisfied. Devarshi bhutapta nrinam pitrinam dankin karonayam rini charajan sarvatmana yaksharanam sharanyo guto mukundam parirityakartam. One who has given up all other duties to completely take shelter of Bhagavan Mukunda, who is affectionate towards the surrendered, is not indebted to the demigods, to his forefathers, to ordinary living entities, or to relatives and guests. He is not subordinate to anyone other than Mukunda, nor is he their servant. Sarvatmana yaksharanam sharanya, sarva atma, sharanam, Sri Krishna sharanam mama, sarvatma. So this ordinary, if you're an ordinary person, you have all these debts, devas, rishis, living entities, relatives, other human beings, and forefathers. And then the kinkra means debts, O king. But, that's ordinary person. But if you surrender to Krishna, how surrender? Everything. Sarva atma. Atma means body. Atma means mind, soul, everything. Sarvatma yaksharanam sharanyam. If you take shelter of sharanyam, sharana means shelter. Sharanyam means he who is worthy of shelter. Who is that person? The shelter, ultimate shelter? Supreme Personality of Godhead. He gives shelter. He gives shelter to everyone. Gata, approach. Mukunda, parirutya, kartam. Karta means do. Comes from kar. Karma means actions, responsibilities, duties. Parirutya. Parirutya means ritya. Parirutya means completely give up, absolutely reject, ignore. Mukunda. Mukunda seva. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vasaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swanti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharani Nirvasesha Shinvadi Paschatyati Sterns. It's Krishna Preshta. The Guru is Krishna Preshta, which also means Mukunda Preshta. He's very dear to the giver of liberation. So when one serves Guru and Krishna, then he becomes totally liberated and free from all his responsibilities. And Krishna, when Krishna concludes all his teachings about responsibilities and karma and yoga and demigods and worship of demigods, and finally he says, the only way to find the hidden treasure is to abandon all considerations of religiosity or irreligiosity and debts and obligations and responsibilities. And you owe us this and you owe us that. You owe me, you owe me this and you owe me that. You have so many debts. We only have one debt. We owe God everything. Our breath is coming from God. Our water is coming from God. Our food is coming from God. Our life air is coming from God. The power to digest our food is coming from God. The power to build up our body, maintain our body is coming from God. The power to speak is coming from God. The power to think is coming from God. The power to sleep is coming from God. The power to be awake is coming from God. The ability is coming from God. Everything is coming from God. if our parents are religious and if they're Hindus, then they've heard of Bhagavad Gita. And if they have you heard of Bhagavad Gita? Well, Krishna says in Gita, I am the source of everything. So that means money comes from Krishna. Support comes from Krishna. Help comes from Krishna. He's giving me all the money. He's giving me all the support. He's giving me all the help. He's giving me all the encouragement. He's maintained me. He's healed my wounds. Not you taking me to the doctor. It's not you taking me to the doctor that's healed my wounds. And not the doctor, not the medicine, but Krishna. Because even the greatest doctors and the greatest medicines can't heal someone that Krishna wants to kill. Parents want the kid to live. They'll spend crores. Doctors want the kid to live. They'll make crores. And everybody wants the kid to live. But Krishna says, no, kid die. And he's a rich kid and he dies. So the parents are we took you to the doctor. You're the immediate cause, you can say, but the efficient cause, the upadan karan, naimittic karan upadan, I think it's called upadan karan, the efficient cause is Krishna. So therefore, the best thing to do is to surrender into the lotus feet of the absolute reality, the beautiful. Reality, the beautiful. Satyam, Shivaram, Sundaram. Krishna is truth, Satyam, Shivaram, all auspiciousness and Mangalam. And Sundaram, Sham Sundaram, Gopinath. So beautiful and attractive. So Krishna sums it all up in the last verse, in one of the last verses of Gita. Next, almost fourth from the last verse. Sarva dharman prityajya. Mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papevyo moksha yishyami ma shuchaha. Abandon, listen Arjun, I've told you so many things about duty and obligations and your duties and obligations as a kshatriya, kshatriya dharma and sri dharma and admi dharma and so many dharmas I've told you and so many obligations that you have to uphold. Now I'm telling you, forget it all. It's a rope, pick it up. It's a snake, drop it. Guru can say, stop. Guru can say, go. The disciple just stops or goes. He doesn't think one way or the other. Guru says, jump. And the disciple just starts jumping. He's wondering, how high? This high, Guru? No, keep going. High. So Krishna said, do all these duties. You have a responsibility. Don't run from the battlefield. Don't be a sannyas. You're a kshatriya. You have your kshatriya varnashram dharma. Varnashram, duties, you have your duties. You're a hero, you're a kshatriya, you're not a sannyasi, that's not your duty. So do your proper karma, do your proper duties, show your obligation, fulfill your debts, fight. Now he's saying, forget about it. Sarva dharma, abandon all varieties of dharma and religion and activities and responsibilities and obligations, forget it all. Abandon all varieties of religion or spiritual paths. Just surrender unto me. Mam, sharanam. Eka Sharanam, I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't lament. Sarva Pap, Aham Tvam, I will take all your pap. Moksha will liberate you from all your pap. Arjun, to impart knowledge of my all-comprehensive aspect, Brahman, as well as knowledge of my all-pervading aspect, Paramatma. Whatever teachings I have given you thus far in the Bhagavad Gita, they're based on the general duties of Varnashram, the socio-religious ranks of life, the duty of the mendicant, selflessness, internal and external self-control, meditation, subservience to the dominion of the Almighty. But now I ask you to summarily dismiss one by one every one of those paths that I've told you about. Forget it. Throw them away. And just surrender unto me the personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. Then I shall deliver you from all your karmic reactions, all the sins of this worldly sojourn, as well as any sin incurred by giving up the aforementioned duties or religiosities or responsibilities or obligations or debts. There will be no cause for you to lament, because now your life, no, there's no cause for you to lament that your life's mission is unfulfilled, because now it will surely reach its fullest potential, because you'll attain pure love of God and go back to the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Well, surrender is painful but beautiful, because surrender is the key to receive the embrace of the all-beautiful, sweet Lord Sri Krishna.